One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today on The Grave Talks, Second Sight Paranormal Investigations and Forensic Services, a conversation with Erica Busar-Haney and Shannon Pringle. Erica Busar-Haney established Second Sight Paranormal and Forensic Services with the aim of assisting individuals in comprehending and resolving their encounters with the paranormal. The team comprises of individuals with diverse backgrounds, including criminal experts, former military police, and even a lawyer, each contributing their unique expertise to the investigative process. Second Sight Paranormal emphasizes its commitment to debunking alleged hauntings rather than blindly accepting them. With each case, the team delves into the history to separate the fact from the fiction. Erica herself is renowned for her remarkable ability to communicate with the other side. Her background as a full-time psychic medium since 2004, combined with her intuitive abilities passed down through her family, has been instrumental in assisting law enforcement with cold cases. She communicates with the deceased to offer closure to the living. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about Second Sight Paranormal and Forensic Services with Erica Busar-Haney and team member and legal expert, Shannon Pringle. Thank you so much for joining me today with the Second Sight Paranormal and Forensic Services. Erica, you founded that group. So when I look into you, you kind of have a life where you're a psychic medium, so I can see how you are drawn to paranormal investigations. But when did you discover you had a unique ability? Were you pretty young?
I was. I grew up in a family. My grandmother had ghost experiences that were passed on generation to generation. My mom told me about playing with ghosts as a child and seeing things. A lot of her siblings had paranormal encounters at a young age. They lived in a haunted house, moved to another house that was haunted. Just growing up in that, I found that I was very sensitive. I was different from most children. I could see auras around the sun and auras around people. And, you know, the invisible friend that wasn't an invisible friend that I remember playing with, and the voices that I would hear talking to me as a child, I later found out were just not my imagination. They were literally people. So I kind of grew into this family of gifted people with a lot of paranormal activity.
Don't you think that a lot of times that's a generational thing? It seems like there are families that it is passed down. It's kind of a gift.
I feel that. I think that, you know, everybody's brain is wired so differently. But in intuition, a lot of times it is passed down on the female side. And when you see men that have it, you know, they go into different careers like law enforcement and use their blue sense, metaphysics, healing. There are a lot of men that are doing Reiki and doing massage, and they don't even have to really, you don't have to tell them what's wrong. They just intuitively go to that muscle and go into work. So yeah, I do think it's passed down from generation to generation.
When you were young and you know, you're hearing voices, you're talking to people, but then you don't know there's anything unusual about that because you're a kid and you think every kid's like that. Was there a point where you're like, oh, this isn't every child's experience. This is unique to me.
I think for me, you know, I had an incident on the bus one time about a little girl whose father ended up being arrested later on that day. And, you know, it was something that came to me and something that I said to a teacher. And it didn't come from the little girl. And to this day, I don't remember what I said. And I've tracked down and found the little girl that's an adult now. And I didn't want to impose on her. But I think I saw something. And this has happened to me as an adult. And I've had to go to the police about things. But, you know, seeing shadow figures in the apartment that we lived in, and then, you know, watching The Exorcist. That's a whole long story. But hearing The Devil Went Down in Georgia on the radio, and I remember seeing shadow figures, and I would tell other people about it, and they were like, girl, what are you talking about? So I kind of hid it as a child. I was afraid of it.
So as an adult, had you been on a paranormal investigative team before you started Second Sight Paranormal?
Yes, I had. We had a couple teams here in Pensacola. We had the Pensacola Paranormal Team. And, you know, when I started just kind of researching what was I, like, why was I able to do the things that I was doing? I reached out to the metaphysical community. I joined the paranormal team. We went on investigations. I kind of learned a little bit about the equipment, but it primarily was just local stuff, you know, and unfortunately, I didn't really care for the team's interaction with spirits. You know, they were more of an antagonistic kind. Show me what you know, and I didn't jive with that. So that was my first introduction along with television, but definitely I tried to kind of tag along as many teams after that as I could to find out, you know, how do you really treat the dead? Because I didn't really feel that they were treating the dead appropriately.
And you have put together a very diverse group of people because on your team, you've got a police officer, there's you, you've got your own abilities, a realtor, pilot, crime analyst. I mean, it's a really interesting group of people. Was that your plan, was to kind of look to round it out with people with different backgrounds?
Yes, because when I was in college, I started to watch Unsolved Mysteries. I was an Unsolved Mystery fanatic. I watched every episode, probably like I do with Cold Case Files and Snapped episodes. And I started to see things on the screen. Like I would see a case and all of a sudden I would see the body. I would see the girl. I would see what happened. And, you know, it came to me almost in flashes. And so long story short, I started working cold cases and I started doing internet help for different agencies, kind of secretively, because at the time I called myself a daycare owner and I would come home and be a psychic detective. So when I created this group, it was to kind of merge people that could help with law enforcement, the paranormal, and also families that might need answers about their loved ones.
And one of those people on your team who happens to be Shannon, who's with us today, you have a really interesting background, Shannon. So you're an attorney.
Yes.
But you're also studying you're working on your PhD in metaphysics.
I am.
That's impressive. And it's interesting to me, two totally different things. So how do they come together in you?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I had a similar start when I was young. I used to see and experience things that I just couldn't explain. And I would tell my mother about them, and it would freak her out to the point of, you know, well, just forget about that. Don't talk about that. Don't tell anyone about that. Until I was much older, and I was really just looking for answers. And I think that was the left side of my brain constantly driving me for, I need to get to the bottom of this, no matter what it was. So with my logical side racing, you know, I pursued a legal career, but at the same time, there was things outside of right here in the physical that I still couldn't explain, was still experiencing, and I had to know more. And one day, actually, I just woke up and heard the word metaphysics in my head. No idea what that meant. I knew physics from high school, but I had no idea what the word metaphysics meant. So off to Google I go to see what exactly is metaphysics. And it kind of, you know, one thing after another from there, I started, you know, despite already having a doctorate degree, I thought, I want to really pursue this. And I'm always trying to learn something. So I first got my bachelor's and then my master's and now working on my PhD.
And help me with the definition of metaphysical. Like, what exactly does the degree entail? What kind of courses are you taking and things like that?
Well, the easiest explanation of metaphysics is anything outside of the physical. Anything, that would be the easiest explanation, would be anything outside the physical.
Okay. And what kind of classes do you take?
I've taken a lot of different classes. Some of the best ones have been very religion-centered and mm-hmm. science-centered, different theological classes and studying different cultures and the similarities and differences between them.
And do you think once you finish this degree, will you still be doing anything with your legal?
Oh, absolutely.
So you kind of will combine them a little bit, or you'll have a side hustle.
Yeah.
You kind of do have a side hustle now.
Yeah, I kind of do have one now. I started a shop called My Metaphysical about 6 years ago. And we have a website and we have a very active Facebook community. And we do classes and we sell crystals and other types of, you know, spiritual items and jewelry and incense and sage and things like that. And like I said, we do have the classes and workshops, and it's a really great community. And it's a way that I can still continue to do both use my legal knowledge and pursue my metaphysical interests.
And doing paranormal stuff on the side.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Let's just say you sleep very little.
I do.
Because I don't know when you could. But one thing that I find very interesting about your group is that, you know, a lot of groups, they focus on investigating locations. But you kind of do more than that, because you do the hauntings and the investigations, but also looking into urban legends and unsolved mysteries, which now makes sense, which is why Erica loved that show so much, and true crime. So is that where the forensic services part comes in the name of your group?
Most definitely. We get, I get appointments like with cold cases or crime scenes or things like that. Usually there's no charge for that. All things are, you know, they vary per case. But for instance, you know, I'm on Lex and Terry sometimes, and people will call in the radio and they'll say, hey, I want you to tell me about, my dad or, you know, something. And that's about it. And so then I go to what's like a remote view type of thing. And I'm in a house or in a location. And then so I start describing it. And so then I'm able to tell them like how the death happened, where the body's placed, what the toxicology should look like. So, you know, doing the forensic part, even on an investigation, we've done houses. The doctor house was a prime example where we went in and we thought a doctor might have committed suicide on the location. I'm able to look at it when, you know, the client first contacts me and I says, I don't feel the death there. I don't see the death there. I don't see it. And then so it goes to Dawn, the case manager. We call her Para Barbie. and then she kind of, she talks to the families. And then, you know, she gathers the information. I go on site usually and do what is either a physical walkthrough or a virtual walkthrough. The team will go out and investigate. A lot of times we will film the investigation and have interviews with the family members before and after the investigation. And then someone like Shannon, you know, she is a wonderful, her and Valerie are wonderful writers. So they kind of help the family and the team put the storyline together. And, you know, a lot of times in these cases, we're helping them forensically, you know, we're helping them with crime. We're helping them with sometimes probably skeptical things where they think something is happening. And as a team, scientifically, we try to debunk first and then record and investigate as well. So that's, I think, the beauty of our team. It's very diverse. We're very logical, left-minded people, but we believe, but we also want to document properly in order to help if there's a legal or a police forensic way. We want to make sure that that stuff is valid.
Now, with your abilities, because that's very unique in the way you see things. Have you gotten visions before a case you're not even involved in? You're just watching TV, like you said, with Unsolved Mysteries. And you get something that's so overwhelming, you feel like you really do need to share that information?
Yes, I do. There are a lot of times that, you know, I'll be watching television and I'll, you know, go in the zone is what I call it. It's kind of like I blink out for a second and then I start to have, you know, the visions of things. And there are often times that I'll either reach out to law enforcement. Sometimes people that know of me, especially locally, I just recently worked on a homicide. And people will say, hey, have you talked to Erica? Or they'll tag me in a post and say, hey, you need to reach out to Erica. She can help you. And, you know, this happens often. And a lot of times I'm able to help the family with closure, if not anything details with the case. And that's done, you know, without the team sometimes because we don't have to literally go and investigate. So we have all those services available to the public.
That
investigations
is so
and
unique.
Also help.
Yeah, it's just so different. Like, I think it would be real interesting to go on a paranormal investigation with you. You would have a whole nother level of insight. But then it's also good to have the team that you have because it seems to balance out, too.
Yes, it definitely does. Most of us, most of the team members have a law enforcement background. You know, we have a cop on the team. We have people with, you know, PhDs and master degrees in criminology. You know, it's just a very diverse team. We've added so many more. We've got a teacher on the team. We've got a geek squad tech now. Just so many different people. And I'm so pleased to have us all come together and create, you know, help for our community.
I think the geek squad angle is really good, too, because I get in over my head with equipment and if you've got someone who knows how the equipment works, knows what you're doing, that's really good. If they can jump
yes.
in, when, especially troubleshooting, if you're having some issues, because sometimes you do. Do you still enjoy going out and doing the paranormal investigations? Or do you find that the more the forensic side of it is kind of drawing you? Or do you try to balance it all out?
I try to balance it. You know, we had a house that we recently did. It was called the T.W. Finch House in Pensacola. And it was in Newsweek. And basically, the owner was trying to sell this haunted house. And he was trying to find somebody who could go in and tell them what was wrong. So he, unlike his owner, the owner prior to him, would not sell a house without disclosing the paranormal activity. He bought it with the paranormal activity undisclosed. So he wanted to make sure that he disclosed it, but he also wanted to heal it or help it before he passed it on to another family. And going in that, you know, we're again going in left-brained forensically, you know, what's going on, what's the history. Shannon does that a lot. When I tell you, that girl will pull up 8 pages of history and we might only need 1 or 2 paragraphs, but she's going to thoroughly research. I mean, yeah, tell her about the T.W. Fitch House, honey, how deep you went in the investigation.
Well, you know, that's the lawyer part of me. You know, I joke that nothing we do is brief, even though they call what we write briefs. But yes, absolutely. Any of the research or anything, I'm going to dive deep and not leave any stone unturned.
She's done that with every case. Her and Valerie go through and just kind of work together, and Don as well and other team members. But with the T.W. Fitch House, it was great to kind of be on scene as a medium walking through without not having too much information. And I enjoyed that, but I did wish that there was a component of crime or murder on that site to kind of explain why the house was so haunted. It was definitely not demonic, but you would have thought with the haunting, someone would have got murdered there. And so I think I like the forensic when it kind of plays together with the paranormal.
So, Shannon, you weren't able to find anything like that then, that had happened in the house?
No.
Do you think that something could have happened there that was not disclosed, or do you think you would have found that out?
Erica, I'm going to toss that one to you because...
Yeah. Okay. Well, when we did a lot of research in that particular house, it kind of boiled down to the previous owner, who was very litigious. He would sue everybody. So he had some history. And so we kind of felt that maybe, you know, there could have been some superstition or some kind of issue maybe with how he died, because, you know, and then there was history of possibly slaves that were kept. So, you know, we were digging deep. We were trying to find if someone was murdered. I mean, they had a lot of poltergeistic activity. The mother-in-law walked in the kitchen and all the cabinets opened at the same time. They had in the house, we were wondering if it was demonic because they had a statue of Saint Benedict at the door. And they had the house exorcised. So, again, we're looking for some plausible way that the haunting would be so elevated. You know, did somebody get murdered on site? It was just a lot of things. People were pulled out of the bed. I mean, it was some crazy stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But yet there was nothing concrete. There was no concrete evidence to substantiate any of that. It was...
So were you able to help them in any way, or just say... Yep, the house is haunted. Good luck selling it.
Well, it kind of reminds me of Poltergeist, you know, when she went in there and said, this house is clean. The team was able to kind of get to the bottom of what was going on. I was able to communicate with several spirits on site. And, you know, we were able to get them to not go away, but coexist. So I would say we did do what we set out to do. The house did sell. They picked the owner, and she's had no problems since then.
That's amazing. With a new owner, maybe the new owner has a different personality, different lifestyle, that maybe that could even the spirits, I don't know the last people who lived there, but maybe they're just so different. You know how some households are kind of negative and dark?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that they could kind of feed off of that?
I think a lot of it was that Gene Church, who owned the house that was selling it, he acquired it from Rocky Hard, who really got the brunt of the haunting. Rocky's family got the brunt of the haunting. So when Gene Church moved in, not knowing that it was haunted, not being told, his family didn't really receive that much scary stuff. It wasn't until he tried to turn it into an Airbnb or a hotel. The people that were living there, which were Navy divers at the time, they received the havoc. Let me tell you, things fell from the ceiling trying to injure them. One guy got pulled out of the bed by his leg. There were things that were moved. There was a crawl space that they saw things in and, you know, were afraid of. But it was just a whole bunch of things that happened to those guys. So I think it was really, hey, stay here, don't leave us. And now that you have, we're going to make these people get out.
Yeah.
A whole Casper story.
Shannon, when you were in there, did you, well, I'm assuming you went in, or did you just research it?
Yeah, I researched that one. I did not go in because that was around the same time that I joined the team.
Oh, because I was going to ask if you picked up on anything when you were in there.
Yeah, I always wanted the chance to get in there, but of course it was sold before I had a chance to.
I just think that's such a service that's really hard to find someone who can do what you do with your team, because that's really helpful to these people. And sometimes, don't you think when people are living with hauntings, and the validation also helps to go, okay, I'm really not crazy. Do you encounter that too? Just even validating that you're picking up on something kind of helps people.
Yeah, I think it happens a lot with children. You know, some of the cases that I remote or the team will help with starts with children. Children seeing things that adults don't see. And, you know, adults wanting to protect their kids and wanting to let their child know they're not crazy, you know. And a lot of times if an adult sees something, you know, they don't understand how spirits might communicate with them. And so there is that whole thing. Am I going through a nervous breakdown? Am mm-hmm. I schizophrenic? You know, all of those societal things that we tell people when they interact with the paranormal. Is this the devil? Is this against my religion? You know, so coming to a team like ours, it's very diverse in spirituality. We have people on our team that are Christian, Catholic, Wiccan, you name it. So you've got a base of someone who's going to understand you and try to help you and demystify the paranormal and make it so that you're not crazy.
And Shannon, how long have you been on the team then?
I believe I joined in the end, towards the end of 2021. Okay. It was right after the Finch House and right before the Bell House.
So the Ball House, since you brought that up and I'm not familiar with it, was that kind of a similar situation, or were you doing more of just an investigation there?
It was pretty interesting, and that was quite an active house as well. There were children there, if I recall right, Erica?
Yes. One of the main complaints was that the children saw something, the mom and the dad saw something, but what started it was they were pulling up the floor and they saw a big blood stain. And they wanted it investigated. They wanted to, because the story is that Dr. Bell, and Shannon did a lot of history on this, Dr. Bell had committed suicide. And so when they found the blood stain, they said, oh gosh, the reason why this house is haunted is because he must have committed suicide in this house. And then we're called in to tell them what's going on.
And how did that one end up going?
Well, we were able to validate that the house was definitely haunted. It was definitely haunted. But Dr. Bell did not commit suicide in the house. He went to a nearby park and unfortunately went death by gunshot. But he did continue to haunt the house for many years after that. And they were not the first person who moved in that house and had activity.
Did the activity start before the doctor passed away, or do you think it's all connected to him?
It was definitely all connected to him. At the time, Sabrina, she went in post the investigation and cleansed it. She's Wiccan. So, you know, we love to kind of like help the families kind of use their religion to kind of like make peace with the area. You know, I don't believe that you send spirits away. I believe that they can come and go. They have free will. But there are things that we can do also to kind of help say, hey, we're the good guys. We're just going to take care of your house. But it was mainly Dr. Bell was haunting the house because he didn't like the structure of the household. The mom was the worker. The dad was the stay-at-home dad. And it was not proper. I remember that. It was not proper for this to be happening. He was old school. And it was really funny to, and Shannon, you got a lot of activity, with your dowsing. I think you did dowsing rod and pendulum and you had meters going crazy. He loved you.
I did. I was in the children's room, actually. That's where I spent the majority of the investigation, and I set up all kinds of toys, on the floor, trying to get the children to play. And all the meters were going off. And then as I was asking Dr. Bell questions, my pendulum was trying to swing right out of my hand. So yeah, that was a great one to be my first in-person case with the team.
Did you feel like when you go into an environment like that, because you're obviously quite sensitive, do you feel that heaviness? Because I would imagine he wouldn't be a light and friendly spirit. He's judgy.
I felt kind of a grandfatherly, a stern but grandfatherly presence. And I know I was drawn to a door that was in their home. It was kind of like something was pulling me to it. And I had asked the homeowner, where did this door come from? It was just a big, solid wooden door. And they said it was a reclaimed door that they had shipped in from overseas. And that they had found small inscribed notes inside of the door. And I said, I really think you should probably get this door, get this door cleansed, because I'm getting a really weird feeling from this door and it's not the same as the rest of the house. But definitely I felt like a very stern grandfather. Like Erica said, the men and women have separate and distinct roles, and he was not happy about the role reversal in this home.
Now, did you find that was actual blood, or maybe could it have been a paint spill or something like that?
They did do some testing. They had someone come out that specialized in, I think they did a blood analysis. I'm not sure, but I remember we did determine that it was not indeed blood. It was shellac from wood, being covered in a previous time. But we did also find that he didn't die there, but we did have confirmation that he was haunting. We did have confirmation of there was a little boy who actually burned in a fire. Or actually, let me repeat that. There was a little boy who actually got caught in a fire and later died off of the property. But he was also known to be there, too. And there was other children that were known, and he owned the whole block. So at some point, we had interaction with multiple spirits. It was a very haunted location.
And when you left, were you able to give them a little bit more peace in the house? Or do you kind of, like, you can cleanse the house, but do you need to give them some instruction too on how to go forward? Or maybe sometimes you're finding that they're bringing in negative things, well, like the door, for example. So are you able to give people some advice kind of moving forward?
We were. One of the things that I think we picked up on that particular spirit was he gave us advice.
Oh,
he literally told us. It was kind of hilarious. He loved the children. He, as Shannon said, I mean, he would stand in the doorway as they played on the floor and watch them as like a grandfather energy. And he wanted the mom to take them outside and spend more time with a wonderful mother. You know, she works hard, but he just felt like, and I'm sure, you know, he's intuitive on the other side too. He felt like those children needed that traditional, growing up opportunity to bond with mom. So they did make those changes. I mean, I'll say they're a cool family because, you know, I talked with her later and they had took the advice of us, and the paranormal activity ceased. We went back and did a follow-up. And they had implemented a lot of the interactions with mom and with the kids outside. They went for walks. They did activities out. He loved the sunshine. He loved the park. So they implemented that in the family, and he stopped haunting them. Now, the next owners of the house, I can't vouch for that. But he did find peace there.
And And that wraps up part one of our conversation about Second Sight Paranormal and Forensic Services with Erica Boussarhaney and Shannon Pringle. For more information on their unique team, visit their website at secondsightparanormal.com. Visit Shannon's site at mymetaphysical.com, and you can find Erica at coldcasepsychic.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.